Okay, thank you. Should I restart the reboot? Perhaps. Okay, good. So let's start from the beginning then. So thank you very much. So this is about a form of multi-precision arithmetic. And the problem with multi-precision arithmetic is that it is more cost extensive. You have a cost overhead. So that's where the parallel computing comes in. So multiple double arithmetic allows you to work more precise, but you still work with floating point arithmetic. So we are looking into making numerical algorithms, give them a more broader range. Now, to make it efficiently and parallel, I'm trying to vectorize the multiple double arithmetic, and I'm going to explain how you can do that. There are two types of parallel computation. So the first one is high level, very straightforward. The harder one is actually not really straightforward, and I will just give some hints to that. Okay, so I'm teaching also computational geometry this semester, so I got the definition of a robust algorithm. A robust algorithm actually performs in the same way if you start to tweak the inputs a little bit. So typically we work with 64-bit doubles, but we can extend it. So the idea to extend 64-bit float arithmetic using floating point arithmetic goes back to the late 60s, early 70s, when people at some point they were still forced to work with 32 bits, but they could actually figure out how to create more precision. So I was using the packages QDLib a lot, and there is also the Campari library. My goal is actually to go to GPU acceleration. So I'm presenting this on a gaming laptop, which is actually already quite as powerful as the graphics cards and the big servers that I was using 10, 12 years ago. So computers are actually too fast. For users, it's not a problem, but if you are a software developer and you really want to exploit your computer, it's a big problem. Okay, what is a multiple double? It's simply a sequence of several doubles. So if you work with complex arithmetic, you have a real part and you have an imaginary part, two doubles. Well, double-double is actually very much the same. Now, if your result can be represented exactly in one double, like you want to compute the number 8 here, then your second double is going to give you the accuracy at which you compute it. So with double-double, you have about 32 decimal places. Then you double again. With quad-double, you have 64 decimal places again and again. So that's the good thing. So you can still do numerical analysis. So you kind of have an error estimate if your result is an exact, can be exactly represented by 64 double. The drawback is that you're not going to notice all that much with double-double arithmetic. Actually, your problems are going to become compute bound. So your processor is going to work a lot harder. But when you get to quad-double, actually, you may want to have you may want to do some parallelism. And then, of course, you can double it up. So you see the average number of floating point operations that you will have to do an addition, a multiplication, and a division. So here is why I am doing this. I'm working with Taylor series. So you may remember Taylor series from calculus. So here is a very nice series. So the exponential starts with the leading coefficient 1, but then the coefficients actually, they go down very, very fast as a factorial. If you only need 8 terms, then double precision will do. But if you need more, so for example, if you need 32 series, terms in your Taylor series to represent the exponential correctly, so also having these tiny components, you actually will need quad-double arithmetic. And actually 32 is a good number if you think about the warp size in a GPU. So typically we would like to work with 64 or 128. Okay, so here is the idea. So what happens is that when you do an operation with a double-double, it's going to do the operation and then it's going to renormalize it again. So if you do a quad-double, it's going to also renormalize, make sure that all the doubles that represent your quad-double are actually going to be non-overlapping. So that is going to have a lot of tests, ifs, and things like that. The idea is if you vectorize, you actually would like to postpone renormalization. So here is if you want to add a sequence, so you have 52 bits of precision in your fraction, you simply cut your 52 in half and you insert zeros. So these zeros are going to fill up. So you could also think about if you want to do exact integer arithmetic, you would split your 64-bit in two 32 bits and you would add zeros in up front. And these numbers will actually fill up. Okay, so double-double arithmetic is also referred often to error-free operations. Okay, I want to do inner products. So I want to multiply matrices, for examples. The reference code is going to compute just a sequence of sums of products. So for products, if you multiply two, say, 13 bits, you can have a 26-bit number. So that's why a double-double, which consists of a high double and a low double, it's going to be split into eight parts. The eight parts are all going to have 32 non-zero bits and going to be filled up with zeros. So it sounds very complicated. So what we're doing is that here with one inner product in double-double arithmetic is going to be replaced by eight inner products, but the eight inner products are going to happen in double precision arithmetic. So computers are very good at doing matrix-matrix multiplication with double precision arithmetic. Multiple double precision inner products are replaced by inner products in double arithmetic. So that's what I mean by vectorizing. So here is the setup. It's important this is still floating point, and the numbers can still float. You have to prevent this by kind of renormalizing intermediately. So sometimes people say with a 64-bit double, you have 53 bits in precision because you had that normalized bit. Now, we have when we split a double in four pieces, we also have to make sure that these exponents are actually 0, negative 13, negative 26, negative 39. Okay, so in our so here is then the computational result. And in some sense, this is already a parallel computation because inside the computer, there are pipelines happening. If you do a double precision floating point operation, there's going to be the denormalization, making sure that the exponents are the same, adding the fractions, and then again a storing. So by rewriting so that first big inner product as many inner products of doubles, we actually get a lot more speed up and a lot more gradual progression. So if you see, if you go from in the left column there, so the ordinary, what I call the ordinary normal double-double arithmetic, you have immediately a penalty hit of 13, and then if you go to quad-double, you have again 12 factor. But if you do it vectored, it goes way, way more gradual. And this was, by the way, done on a very recent computer with a recent chip compiled with a full optimization. Okay, now two levels of parallelism. So the big point is that going from, say, 12 milliseconds to 9 seconds, you're going to notice. So that's actually the whole big problem of using multiple precision arithmetic. Things that start to take milliseconds suddenly become seconds. A second becomes minutes, and minutes become hours. So the 9 seconds, you can actually, if you do this in a very straightforward, so I had to do 1,000 in a product, I can actually reduce this with using all the cores in that CPU. I can reduce it from 300, from 293 to 300, going from quad-double 4 times more. I like speed up, but we also like quality up. So in some sense, if you use all the cores in that computer, you actually can do the same computation 4 times more accurate within the same time. Okay, so that's the nice type of parallelism. Here is a reference. So this is what I call the work crew model. You just, every thread picks up an inner product and they work through a job queue. And the only thing you need to be careful about is that when you increment your job counter, so every thread, when it's done, it asks for the next job, that they can only do this, they have to do this in a critical section. And this can be very nicely implemented. So I think this is classic Ada. Okay, now comes the hard part. With GPUs, you can actually do the multiple double arithmetic, that's fine. But then there are the tensor cores. So the computer that I mentioned, actually it has a high-end Ampere graphics core in this. And what this experiment shows is that these convolutions, they can actually be reformulated as matrix products. So this is what we call data staging. So we have to make sure that the data is all properly arranged in vectors, and that we have very carefully, we know where the beginning is and where the end, and where are we going to write. So GPU code is typically very short. You just smash some kernel on, but the preparation for the code takes a very long time. And actually what I've presented to you here is kind of a first step in making these tensor cores, making them useful for higher precision multi-matrix multiplications. Thank you for your attention. Anton. Yes.
Then you mentioned that we had a only a 6 times speed up or something like that? Or?
Okay, thank you. So these speed ups are actually only done on one core. I'm sorry. So the question is, I'm using 96 cores, and how come these are the speed ups here? In this slide, I'm actually only using one core, and I'm using the 96 cores to reduce the 9 seconds over there. This is kind of here the highest time, and I want to reduce this comparing to the 318. So, I mean, that's about, with quad double, it's about 10 times slower. What I can do here is I have 1,000 inner products to do, and they are distributed among the 96 cores in that computer. And that reduces the time to 293 milliseconds.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah,
I think on one slide you mentioned the semaphore as a synchronization primitive. Have you considered using something like atomic variables just carefully in the barriers to minimize the impact on caches to avoid like moving memory back and forth?
Yeah, so the question is, I'm using semaphores here. Have I considered using atomic variables? And I think I do. So there are these types that I can use, yes. Yeah. Yes?
So you're using multiple doubles, like I'm wondering, are the multiple exponents really useful? Or then, because you said they have to be non-overlapping, so they have to be in certain range.
Yes.
So are the exponents useful?
Yes, so the question is, are the exponents useful? So the exponents, so in some sense, so here is how you could see it. So that's also a drawback, actually, of multiple double arithmetic. You cannot go to, so you you still remain 11 bits of in your exponent. So at some point, you're going to have overflow or underflow. So you have to do still numerical analysis. So the question is if these exponents are useful. Here they are not if you are just normalizing, because they all stay fixed. Yes, and that's actually what you want. Yeah. So in some sense, for your numbers, you're only going to use, so here I generated all constant numbers in a very nice range, but it's actually this exponent that is going to matter. And all the other numbers, they are going to somehow carefully need to be rebalanced. Yes?
Are the answers from geometry class so long and that impacts so much the temperature of the processor that you have to have a respective relay and make full use that it ranges the load balancing of the task?
So your question is about the load balancing?
When you are parallelizing a lot,
yes.
What's the impact over the temperature and the control by the hypervisor of how the processor is going to heat?
Yes, so the question is about the temperature when the... So I don't know. So the machine starts to get a lot more noisy when I run it. And the fans are really starting to blow very hard. So that's how I see that it is working, or I hear that it's working. I have no sensors. There could be sensors there, but I don't know how the temperature... No, I never risked that. No.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.